Blog Talk Radio.
Does a monster roam the remote forest of North America? Some know it as Bigfoot. Others call it Sasquatch. Eyewitnesses describe a creature covered with hair, walking on two legs, towering over 8 feet tall, and sporting massive arms and shoulders. Join us as we examine the evidence, interview the eyewitnesses, and ponder the mystery on Sasquatch Watch Radio. And now, here are your hosts for Sasquatch Watch Radio, Billy Willard and the Creature Seeker.
Alrighty, everyone. Today is July 7th, 2015. Welcome to another episode of Sasquatch Watch Radio. I'm hoping the studio's working tonight, and I'm beginning to have my doubts based on what I'm seeing in the chat room. So someone can let me know in the chat room if you're hearing this broadcast. Please type something in the chat room to let me know you're hearing it. I'm hoping it's working. Anyway, let's see here. Give me just a second. Bruce, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Billy. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do hear you. I'm not certain, though, that they're hearing anything because I haven't seen anyone mention in the chat room that they're hearing anything. So apparently they don't have sound.
Great.
Yep. So this is getting to be, very irritating. Digger Dog says they were having the same problem Sunday evening. So they didn't even hear music. So, I don't know if it'll repair itself as we go or what. So I'm at a loss here as to what to do.
And we did find out, Billy, that there were people, they contacted us after the fact, but there were people who were trying to call into the show last week, and they couldn't get in. So there was something definitely wrong with the board last week, and my apologies to all those who tried to call in and couldn't get through.
Yeah, I'm kind of asking everybody if they're getting anything. I don't think they have anything. They're saying that the show claims that I'm not called in, but I'm sitting here looking at myself on the studio. So it's showing me logged in. All right. So, okay. All right. Bob, Jason, and Rob, if you all just keep hanging on the line, I see you guys hanging in there. I'm going to see if I can get, Billy. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and bring them in.
Billy, is Scott not with the group anymore?
Who?
Scott.
Scott who?
Wasn't there a guy, Scott, who's a member of the group?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, well. Well, ask the guy.
I don't know. We can ask him. I'm going to bring him in here. That way we got somebody to chat with while we're trying to fix these issues. Because everybody says they're refreshing, still don't have any sound. Let's see here. 0391, that is Bob. How are you doing tonight, Bob?
Hey, Billy, how are you tonight?
Pretty good. Hey, let me pull in. All right, we should have Rob on the line.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So far, so good. And now this one should be Jason.
Could you hear me?
Yep, we hear you.
All right, nice.
What about Scott? Can you get Scott on the line?
Bob, where's Scott?
We still haven't found Scott. He's as elusive as a Sasquatch, I guess.
See, when it comes to Scott, he had to do our new member introduction and hazing, where we leave him in the middle of the woods with the only thing to drink is a bottle of Jack Daniels, and he hasn't found his way out yet, so.
That's funny. Well, hey, I'll let you all chat,
that guy in Texas who was chomped by the alligator. Hear about this? So this guy, his name is Tommy Woodward, age 28. He works down at this marina that's off the Sabine River in Texas. And he tells everyone, hey, I'm going for a swim. And there are signs all over that say, no swimming, you know, warning alligators. And there were people there saying, no, don't jump in the water. It's infested with alligators. And he said, F the alligator. He jumps in the water and immediately is devoured by 11-foot alligator. They find, the parts of him that the alligator didn't like down the river somewhere. But what do you think about that?
Well, it's all fun and games until someone gets eaten by an alligator.
Yeah. Well, the story doesn't end there, right? So apparently his buddy, who goes by the name Bear, shows up to the river, finds the 11-foot alligator, and shoots him. And they do, you know, they open up the alligator, and they find, you know, parts of his body inside the alligator. So, what, you know, this alligator was the alligator, apparently, that attacked him. The problem is that in Texas, there's a $500 fine for killing an alligator. So, don't know where that's going to end up. But they say that a man hasn't been killed by an alligator in Texas since 1836. Most likely, it was this guy's, like, great-great-grandfather, like, Jedediah Woodward or something. He probably said, I ain't afeard of no gator, and he jumped in and he got killed. So, you know, when you're in Texas, don't go swimming in those alligator-infested rivers. Just keep that in mind, boys. You don't have to worry about that on Pennsylvania, though, do you?
No, I think we're pretty much all right.
Yeah, I didn't even know they had alligators in Texas. So,
well, yeah, in the eastern part of the state, I think.
Yeah, I guess we're close to Louisiana border there.
Yeah, pretty alligator intensive, I'd say. Maybe that's what happened to Scott.
Like I said, we're still looking for him, and he's been lost for about 3 years now. We've been doing your guys' show, and we still haven't found him.
You know, every time we have you guys on, I always ask for Scott. You know that.
Yeah, I know. I forget how that even started. I guess when you guys thought one of our names was Scott, it just kind of been a running joke.
Yeah, I was just trying to keep that running joke running, but maybe its time has come and gone.
No, I think we're gonna put like out a Facebook post a member named Scott.
We'll dress him up like Waldo.
Yeah, where's Scott?
So, what's the latest? What's going on with you guys down there in TA?
Who wants to tackle that one? I'm fine tackling it. If
go ahead, Jason. You got it.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. So, it's been a crazy, probably past 2 months for us. We ended up getting a sighting and counter report from a area that's kind of the best way I could describe it is it's country suburban type setting. It's fairly populated, but yet there's still a decent amount of woods and farmland. And it's probably, at least in our section of Pennsylvania, where you would least likely think you'd run into a Bigfoot. So we got this report from a guy, said he had two encounters 2 summers ago, and they were both 1 month apart, and one of the encounters happened to be on a rail trail that a lot of people in the area use. I know I biked and ran it probably more times than I can even count, and I'm thinking in my head, well, this is the least likely place I would think I'd be doing a Bigfoot investigation, but we ended up doing an investigation. Somehow it went viral locally, and ended up getting shared like 300 times on Facebook and reached like 35,000 people. So it kind of just got crazy from there. We went dealing with, you know, all the people chiming in that we're nuts or what are you guys smoking, to like the legit people saying, hey, I think I seen something in that area too. And it's just been ongoing from there.
Wow. So who was it that had the sighting? I mean, I know you can't mention their names, but I mean, what can you tell us about the witness at all? Like, what were they doing when they had the sighting?
Sure. It was actually a husband and wife. They were driving on a local road in the area, and it's kind of a very hilly road up over a mountain range. And the husband said he happened to look over the side into this little gully power line area, and he said he'd seen about a creature 7-8 feet tall. I believe it was brown, matted hair, standing out there in this gully power line. He said he stopped the car, started looking at it, and the thing took 4 leaping steps right back into the wood line, and he was really, really freaked out about it. About a month later, same husband and wife were walking along this rail trail about 4:30 in the morning. About the rail trail's maybe 2 miles from where this road is, and the wife started joking with the husband, hey, I wonder if we're going to run into that creature again. And it just so happens that, I don't know if it was the same one or maybe the same family group, standing at the top of this ridgeline overlooking the trail and started breaking branches, rolling rocks down the hill at them. So it kind of just sprung from there. In our investigation, going big time locally, had another girl write to us that said, hey, I seen a 5'5" Bigfoot on the rail trail. It basically was in my parents' backyard, and I seen it walk along the wood line and disappear off into the woods. Had another gentleman write to us about a road crossing sighting he had 10 years ago, another 3 miles up the road. So it's kind of like, even though this is kind of a more suburban area with, you know, a lot of woods around it, all of a sudden we started getting all these sightings from this specific area within a 5-mile radius.
What is your hypothesis about that?
When we really look at
these, why do you think there are so many sightings in such a concentrated area?
If I had a 100% answer, I'd be in a lot better shape than we are right now. I mean, there's a lot of ATV trails and power lines and pipelines that kind of run through the area. There's also a mountain range that extends about 40 miles. So it could be something where they're moving along the mountain range and following all these power lines and pipelines and ATV trails.
So do you think there's some sort of migration going on, or do you think they're just using these trails to get around? Or do you think this is an area where they're actually living, or is it an area where they're just passing through?
I mean, I think they just might be migrating up and along this mountain range that goes for about 40 miles. Because, I mean, this area that all these sightings are in, it's a fairly populated area. And I would think that if they were living in this area full time, there would be a lot more sightings coming out of it. But, I mean, to get 4 or 5 sightings in this general location, I mean, it's basically 5 miles up the road from my house. And, you know, I drive it every day, and I'm thinking, holy cow, you know?
And do you think that there's a specific – do you think this has to do anything with the season? Maybe because it's summer, they're more active, or maybe because there's more people –
I mean, like 3 of the sightings we got happened in summertime. The two that this husband and wife couple had were 2 years ago. This one that this girl had was last summer. And I mean, it's even more populated in the summer than it is, say, in the wintertime. Between the rail trail with people hiking, biking, walking their dogs, there's a really popular state park about 2 miles away. You get a lot of campers and kayakers and, you know, local kids' camps going up there. So, I mean, I have no clue. If I knew it, you know, like I said, we'd be a lot better off.
If we knew it, he would be discovered by now, right?
Right. it's just as elusive as Scott is.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to be doing any sort of overnight investigation in this area at all?
I mean, it's in the initial plans. I have some friends who just bought property right in the center of this location, and they have a pretty good chunk of woods right behind their house. So I always joke with them, if you get home from work and you see my truck parked there and you're wondering where I am, you know, you pretty much know what I'm doing at your house.
Do you folks think that these creatures are violent? Do you have any concerns?
No, not really. If any of the other guys want to chime in too, I know at least personally, I'm more worried about ticks and bears when we're out in the woods than running into a Bigfoot.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the shock of seeing one is the biggest thing you have to be scared of. I mean, honestly, I don't think that they're violent creatures at all. I mean, I think they're more curious than anything. I look at the sightings and everything. You know, I mean, very few people have reported any violence from these creatures besides rocks rolling. I mean, and that, you know, that's the cities with great apes, you know, that's just a sign of, hey, get out of here, you know, this is my territory. So I don't think that they're violent creatures at all.
So do you pack heat when you go out there?
Do I? I personally, no, I don't. I was a correction officer for the state for 10 years. And trust me, I've seen scarier things inside of prison than I have in the woods. So I do not pack. I don't even have a license to carry, and I don't even plan on getting one. I mean, these people who say that they would shoot one of these creatures, I think is absolutely absurd. I mean, I've seen one. They're majestic creatures, you know. And, I mean, I grew up in Washington State. My grandparents ran a diversion down in the Squally River. And I saw one chasing a deer along with other members of my family across the canal. And I think we were more in shock and awe than fright. You know, we were just shocked that we'd seen a creature, you know, and what was it? More than we were scared of it. I didn't fear going outside after I saw it.
What about you other folks?
I know when Bob and I go out on investigations, especially night investigations, depending the area, Bob has a license to carry, and sometimes, you know, we make sure we're protected. Not so much if we run into a Bigfoot-like creature, but for example, this past Thursday, we were on 50,000 acres of state game lands on a mountain with no cell phone service. So, like I said, you just don't know what other type of things you're going to run into out there, whether it's a bear or a pack of coyotes. And you just kind of got to fire off that warning shot to scare something off.
Mm-hmm. And up there, what is in Pennsylvania? Your biggest concern is what, other people, not dangerous wildlife, right?
Bear. We're more concerned about bear than anything.
Have there been a lot of bear attacks in Pennsylvania?
And not a lot of bear attacks, but I mean, I got one in my yard every day. You know, I pulled up in the driveway and I was picking up my trash and came right out of the tree right next to me. You know, that scared me more than I think Bigfoot did when I saw it. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
The bear had more of a history of attacking people than Sasquatch, you know, so.
That's true.
you know, I mean, I'd be more scared of the black bear or anything than anything else, you know.
Now, are you taking any new members? I mean, if someone wants to join your group, are you allowing people to join, or is this just keeping it what you for?
Well, I was going to say, for years, you know, it was pretty much just Jason and I, and, you know, we've had people write us and ask about joining. We kind of, you know, kicked the idea around, but then when, you know, about a month ago when Rob got in touch with us and, you know, we knew Rob's history, we kind of, you know, we met for breakfast one day with him and talked to him, and then him and Jason went out on an investigation to kind of, I guess it was kind of a trial for him, and then we just, you know, kind of discussed it and, you know, figured we'd ask him to join. But I think as of now, we're, you know, pretty good with that. Right now we have, like, I guess you can say Rob, Jason, and I are like the three full-time members. And we also have another member, Terry, who lives, you know, like about 3 hours west of us. And she comes out once in a while. And then once in a while, Jason's girlfriend, Michelle, goes out. So I think as of now, we're not really looking for new members.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like Rob was just able to, you know, basically slide in under the line there.
Yeah, he was kind of in the right time at the right place when things were kind of starting to expand a little and get a little bit crazy.
And plus that bribe probably helped out a little bit too, right? For, you know, flipped a couple of greenbacks there and the application for some wink-wink, some boxing equipment, wink-wink.
Yeah, he didn't get his initiation fee bill yet, so.
No. His monthly dues.
They're coming, I'm sure.
When you get a new member with your group, do you do any hazing? Do you like blindfold them and set them out into traffic on IED or anything?
That hasn't happened to me yet, but
no, it was actually funny. I'll let Rob tell the story, but the first investigation I took him out on, we got him pretty freaked out, and it was not on purpose. We actually had some good interactions, and I'll let Rob talk about that.
Well, now that you talk about hazing, maybe it was always just hazing. I don't know.
I knew exactly where we were going and had Bob stationed out in the woods and whipped sticks at you.
Yeah.
Actually, our only hazing is like the first time you got to go on an overnight, you got to buy the beer. So,
yeah, my first investigation was actually, it was kind of neat. I mean, we went out and we went on to a trail in Lackawanna State Forest. And, you know, me and Jason, we're just hiking. You know, we're talking, we're hiking, you know, every once in a while we'll stop, we'll listen, we'll do a wood knock. I had a game call with me, so I do a couple game calls. And we get to a point where they were doing construction on the road. Apparently there's new houses coming in or something, there had to be. So we're like, oh, good point to turn around. So we start turning around, and we heard something crashing through the woods, and we're like, you know, we stopped and listened, and then we heard a deep growl. I guess that's the best way to describe it, right, Jason?
Right, and it was weird. It was something I never experienced before, but it once this growl hit, it almost made time go into slow motion for about 20 seconds, and then by the time it was done, you're like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, it stopped us in our tracks, like, the bird stopped chirping. It is really interesting. So we sat there probably a good 20 minutes, did some stick knocks, wood knocks, and, you know, we didn't get much more interaction. So at that point, we chalked it up as something pretty interesting, you know, and we start coming out, and I had a backpack on, and something threw either a rock or a stick, and it hit my backpack. Turned to Jason, I was like, you got a problem? Why are you throwing things at me? He goes, no, I heard it too. And, you know, and literally you felt it. I mean, it was something of some weight in my backpack, and we couldn't find the source of it. So it was kind of interesting, you know, and, you know, I kind of thought, well, maybe they are hazing me, you know. But yeah, that was my first investigation out with them. So it was pretty interesting.
Were you able to record that?
We did not have any recordings going on at that time, and that's probably my mistake. And we probably should have had a voice recorder at least going with us. So we just chalk it up as an experience. You know, you can't really push it as evidence because you don't have no recording of it. But you know, it is an experience and is one of our sort. You know, a story now. I guess that's the best way to put it. You know,
right. And I don't know if you guys could vouch for this, but at least with us, it always seems when we do an investigation, everything always seems to happen when we're low-key and just on our way out back to our cars and trucks. I don't know if that's happens to you guys too, but...
That has actually happened on a couple occasions with me where, you know, the whole night is all quiet and then you're packing up and then you hear something could possibly be a vocalization. Yeah, that definitely happens.
Yeah. I think they know that you're there long before you ever know. I mean, obviously they do. You know, so maybe they just watch you and watch and watch you and to the point where they say, okay, time for you to go. You know? You know, this is my territory. It's, you know, I let you come in and visit it for your hour. Time for you to go. You know?
Right, it's kind of like there's a way of saying, thanks for coming, you worked your butts off, here's a little parting gift just to make your trip worthwhile, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you guys can vouch for this. I mean, and I don't expect that to happen every investigation. Probably 1% of your investigations where you actually get something that's like, you know, credible or a pretty good experience, you know? So I'm sure you guys have asked for that too, you know. So.
Now, typically, when you guys go out, do all of you participate in the investigation, or is it assigned to one of you who does it and then reports back? How do you work that?
Well, it's kind of just whoever's around at the time. Like, hey, we're thinking about going out this Saturday. Who's open to go out? Sometimes it'll be me and Bob, or me and Rob, or me and Michelle, or whoever, or three of us. One time we actually had four of us go out, so it's just kind of like who's got free time on a weekend and who wants to go out.
Now, what's your next big investigation? I guess I'll ask this question to Jason.
If we told you that, we'd have to kill you.
You'd have to get in line.
Yeah.
So are you planning on another big investigation in Pennsylvania this season?
We're out about every 2 or 3 weeks. So we're just out this past Thursday, so we haven't gotten around to figuring out where we're going next.
Have you done any squatching out there at the Chestnut Ridge?
No, we have not.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Ron Murphy?
The what?
Yeah, have you ever heard of a guy named Ron Murphy?
No.
So he's a researcher out of Pennsylvania, a really nice guy. He does a lot of research out there in Chestnut Ridge. That's kind of
okay. Is that out there in the western part of the state?
Yeah, it's not too far from Pittsburgh, actually.
Okay.
Where are you guys located? Are you located?
We're about 6 hours from Pittsburgh.
You're about 6 hours?
Yeah, it's about 300 miles to Pittsburgh.
So you're in the eastern part of
Pittsburgh.
Up by the New York-New Jersey border.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. That's some Amish country down there, right?
Well, that's more south. that's towards Lancaster. But there are Amish up here, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a huge, I know that in the eastern part of the state, there's a lot of sightings out there, I would say in the northeastern part of the state. Are you aware of any of those sightings? You know the ones I'm talking about where supposedly You know, the same creature which had reddish brown fur was seen by multiple people. Have you heard of that?
I'll let Jason answer that.
And this was out near Pittsburgh?
Well, so in New York, New York State area, there's been a lot of reports of a Sasquatch-like creature with reddish brown fur. And I guess what I was trying to do is trying to connect the dots between the sightings in northern Pennsylvania of the creature with the reddish brown fur, and was wondering if you guys are aware of any sightings where there's a creature with like a reddish tint to its fur that was sighted in northern Pennsylvania. No?
No, not really. And if there's, you know, like something Bigfoot that comes out of like, you know, northeastern Pennsylvania, we're pretty much aware of it. So color wise, I'm not sure on, you know. I mean, we have our couple like hot spots up around in here where we connect the dots. Like we have a lot along the Susquehanna River. We have a lot up in the Lackawanna State Forest in the mountaintop Pennsylvania area. We're starting to get a lot coming out of the Back Mountain area, the Suston Thornhurst area.
Well, when was it? I think it might have been 2 years ago. I was at a conference out in Pennsylvania. I met up with a researcher out there, and they told me that they were investigating these reports of a creature in northern Pennsylvania toward the New York State border on the eastern side of the state.
Hmm.
And they said that there were a bunch of sightings reportedly seeing a creature with reddish fur. I don't know. I couldn't find any mention of it anywhere except that this person told me that they had talked to a number of eyewitnesses who, the one salient feature that they all mentioned was this reddish brown fur. So I didn't know if you guys had ever heard of it or were investigating it.
Yeah, because we haven't heard anything about it. I don't know, maybe if another group in the state was investigating it and, you know, whoever was seeing it contacted that group compared to our group.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange. So you're not doing any investigations. I mean, what do you guys do all summer? Are you goofing off? I mean, what are you guys doing?
I work.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's all I do is work.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, we're going to get out in the next week or two here. I mean, we've been a group, what, a year and a half now, Bob, and we're going on our, what, 35th investigation?
Yeah, we got, like, a couple more areas we're getting reports on. We're, like, you know, looking into to see if it's worth going to. We got a report for it's down around Sunbury, Pennsylvania, which is like Harrisburg. It's not so much Bigfoot related. Somebody let us know about there's some kind of road if you walk on, there's this, some kind of creature that tries to scare you off. So we're looking into trying to get to there. And we look into a lot of areas like Jason's very good at. He'll just like look at Google Maps and find like an area, not necessarily that had reports or anything, but say, you know, it would look good that there might be. So, you know, if there's nothing else really going on, we go there. And like you said, we try to get out every 2 weeks. You know, we're planning the stuff maybe like a weekend kind of thing for the end of this month. But you know, five, six different people trying to get everybody scheduled to drive, it's, you know, kind of hard.
Yeah, it's like herding cats sometimes, isn't it?
Yep.
For you guys, what is the hardest thing about trying to put together an expedition?
Like I said, just like, you know, the timing and all, like if it's something recent, like we got lucky about a month ago, like Jason was saying, up in the mountaintop area, which ever since we started, like we'll be together as this group for 2 years in November. We've been to mountaintop several times because we've got different sightings, and a local guy that does ghost investigation posted a picture on Facebook that he was just out fishing and I seen it, and I, like, saw something dark in the woods, so, like, within a day, Jason and I were up there checking it out. But like I said, if there's nothing, any kind of reports coming in, we just get on Google Maps and look for an area and, you know, like Jason said earlier, see who's available and wants to go.
Yeah, I'm going to say the hardest part about getting an investigation together is making sure our significant others don't have any other plans for us that week.
Yeah. Jason, I mean, for the longest time now, you know, we've been together as this group for 2 years, and I think Jason and I have known each other like 3 years. You know, there's like 400 texts between us during the day. Well, can you go out this weekend? I said, well, let me check when I get home from work, you know. So we, you know, the wife has us, like, for me at least, but write stuff on the calendar so I know.
That's the first thing I got to do, check the calendar.
Yeah, that's what I got to do. Do we have any plans? What are we doing? Because I go out.
What am I building this weekend?
Yeah, there's nothing like planning on doing a squashing expedition and then actually having to instead go to Bed Bath & Beyond all afternoon.
Right.
Or a birthday party.
Right, or even for, like, you know, like that day Jason and Rob went out, I was supposed to go, but I decided to, it was a Sunday, I decided to go into work for what I thought was going to be an hour or two, and it ended up being like 6 hours, and I didn't get to go with those guys, so.
Wow. Must be an important man at your job. So, Billy, did you have any questions for these guys?
Oh, I tell you, I've been sitting here chatting with the support engineers that's been trying to work on this thing. I don't know what's going on. I apologize, guys. I'm hoping that the show's at least getting recorded for the archive. This is crazy, man.
That's technology nowadays, you know?
You know, it's nothing like paying for a service and not get crap.
Hey, it sounds like DirecTV.
Yeah. So you guys, and I apologize because I've been kind of going in and out talking with these guys. You guys are staying pretty busy, from my understanding. I mean, I've seen on your Facebook page that you guys have been putting up, you know, some photos of your investigations, footprint photos. You've been finding a lot of, you know, evidence and that kind of thing.
Billy, it's all smoke and mirrors. They just admitted that they've been goofing off all summer.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
No. I don't think they're goofing off, Bruce. I think they're out there.
No. I mean, since April, I think we've done 4 or 5 investigations since April we've been out. We've done, you know, a couple presentations at local libraries. We're doing your show now, so we're staying pretty busy.
Yeah, you know what? If I were you, I would leave our show off your resume if you really want to.
Oh, come on. This is probably our favorite show to go on.
I appreciate that.
Even now, if it is just recorded for the archive.
Well, now, which libraries have you spoken at?
We've done actually several. Like you said, the Mountaintop area one about a year or so ago, one that was kind of hot for us, I don't remember if they got in touch with us or I got in touch with them when we did a speaking there. For the last 2 years, we've done the Berwick Library, which is 1 mile from my house. There, last year, one of the local ghost groups, the guy puts on last year it was a teen paranormal where he has, it was like a group of teens every month they'd gather and do different paranormal things. And in this past, I guess it was like 2 months ago, they just had us there and, you know, we always usually have good turnout. Last 2 years, we've done it's the beginning of March, we've done it's kind of weird at first, like an RV expo down in Altoona, but, you know, we've had
we're
2 years,
deal.
Like 100 people show up.
Yeah, we're a big deal at the PA Adventure RV Expo.
Yeah, they love us in Altoona.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was looking at our Facebook, like, we can go on and look at, like, where people are from, and I think Altoona in the Clearfield area, we have, like, the most likes. So we're big out, like, in central Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and we're actually going to be pretty involved in the upcoming Paracon at the Steamtown Mall, Columbus Day weekend, with a couple of our friends who run paranormal groups. So we're kind of trying to put together the cryptozoology side of it.
Now, what's the name of this event?
It's actually put on as, and Rob used to be a member with them. It's the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association. Just like a couple weeks ago, they do different events, and we did, was at a pizza place up near Jason's house, and they do like psychic readings, and they had us there for the 1 month, and they're putting on as a Paracon up, like Jason said, the Steamtown Mall in Scranton, and I believe it's October 10th, Columbus Day weekend, and they asked us to be part of the, to set up the Bigfoot side of it. It's I think it's East Coast Paracon. If you search that, they have a website with all the information on there.
All right, cool. And that's in
October 10th. Yeah, I believe it's October 10th.
Which town is that in?
What was that?
Which town is that in?
It's in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Scranton. Okay.
Yeah. It's got moved once or twice already, so... I think last year they tried to have it, but it just didn't work out. So this year is, I think, the first. And I was just on their website the other day when they get the date, and they have different, like, psychic mediums, different ghost people. And like I said, they kind of put us in charge of finding another Bigfoot group. And I think a while back I invited Billy to come up. I never heard back from him, so.
Who, Billy Willard?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he never returns my phone calls either. I wouldn't worry about it.
No, you know what? It doesn't matter, guys. He don't ever call me anymore. Half the time I'll text him or something over the weekend, and then I'll get a return text like a week later.
Yeah. You know,
one of those kind of guys, huh?
Yeah, when he texts me, he's always busting my chops about something.
Yeah, I'll send him a picture of a... They had a box of little miniature tumbleweeds at the, you know, at the BJ's Wholesale Club. I took him a picture, you know, because he likes running into tumbleweeds on his motorcycle.
Billy, they like running into me. That was the point of my story, all right? So Billy's talking about, a couple years back, I rode my motorcycle across the country, and I was going through the Midwest one dark, stormy, rainy night, and... the deer out in the Midwest are really big. I mean, there's huge animals out there compared to the whitetails we have out here in the Northeast. So it was really windy. It was storming out. I was running low on gas. And my biggest concern was, because the visibility wasn't that great, I was looking intently at the road to make sure that, you know, I wasn't going to hit a deer or a deer was going to run out in front of me. And, you know, when you're focusing like that, you have kind of this tunnel vision, and out of nowhere, this tumbleweed, like, came at me on my left side, and I thought I was, like, getting attacked by a squatch or something. I don't know. I scared the out of me. So anyway, that's what Billy is talking about. So he said, you've got to bust my chops about that every single chance it gets. Yeah, because
well,
Lord knows. Yeah.
At least you didn't lay the bike down.
No, I didn't lay the bike down. It was close though, but you know that's part of riding, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, that's what, when he texts me, he's always busting my chops. What am I gonna do? Text him back? Hey, Billy. Yeah, that was great. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't tell you all what he texts me. Whenever he texts me, he's trying to wish me a happy holiday and then calls me an SOB. he even addresses my letters. If he sends me something in the mail, he addresses my letter as an M&M Sunday eating SOB. And the mailman actually delivers it.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, imagine that, Billy, that the mailman knows where to deliver that letter. What do you think? Coincidence?
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
you don't know.
Yeah, so it sounds like a pretty cool event that you're having out there in Scranton. I'd like to go to it. I'd like to attend it. Maybe if I have some time, I'll pop over.
Come on out.
Yeah. any more library talks you guys have scheduled?
No, we don't have that now. Like I talked to Rob last night when I talked to Billy, and we kind of set this up last minute. He said, I talked to Rob, and like I said to him, you know, we try to do that stuff more in the winter when it's kind of hard to get out, when a lot of the trails in the woods are like, you know, up here we get probably, you know, 3-4 feet of snow throughout the winter. So, and, you know, we've been out in that too last year. I remember Jason and I were just talking about this Thursday night when we went out. It was, you know, close to like, it was perfect weather. It was like 70 and nice and cool. But, you know, we've been out in 100-degree weather. We've been out -3 and 8 inches of snow. So it's a little harder to get out in the winter. So we try to do them in, you know, the fall and the winter months.
Yeah,
well,
I gotta
hand it to you guys for getting out there. I mean, Billy Willard won't go out even when the weather is perfect. So, you know, you guys are doing a great job, I think, getting out there. Right, Billy?
Yeah, that's okay. When you go out, Bruce, you usually hang out with people that walk around in circles.
Yeah, he's talking about Dave Rupert. You guys know this guy, Dave Rupert? Have you ever heard of him?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, you know, he's a researcher out there in Pennsylvania, and he's got the worst sense of direction. And so every time we go out squashing or hiking, it's so we take the most circuitous route anywhere. Instead of like a straight line A to B, it's always circuitous. We're always like doubling back around. And you know, so I've resigned to the fact that either when we go out, either either I do the lead or, you know, we basically don't follow his advice on where to go, because he's always saying, oh, I think we should go this way. And it's basically doubling around the same way we came. So,
I mean, you know,
that at all, do you?
You know, the hiking trails are marked and the game roads are marked. But, one of the past investigations, Bob led us out to a state highway, and we were hiking up this giant hill on a state highway back to our trucks.
And did you finally make it?
Yeah, well, it was either walk 15 minutes up the highway or double back through the woods for 2 hours, so.
The highway was definitely the better deal, I think. Have you ever heard of a group called the Center for Cryptozoological Studies? Never heard of it?
I never have.
No. How about the Center for Unexplained Events?
Center for, maybe.
Yeah. What about a guy named Brian Seach? You ever heard of this guy?
I may have heard that name.
Yeah. Where did you see it on like a wanted poster, or where may have you heard that name?
I think I came across it in maybe a Facebook group or something.
Oh, okay.
Posting something.
Yeah. Well, Brian and his wife, they're researchers out there in Pennsylvania. They have a couple of groups, the Center for Unexplained Events and the Center for Cryptozoological Studies. They're pretty active out there. They do a lot of talks.
You know where I think I've heard? Because does he do UFO stuff?
He does, yeah.
Oh, okay, because I thought I filmed the UFO once. It turned out to be a planet. And just for craps and giggles, I posted it on our Facebook page, and he contacted us and asked more about it. And I kind of messaged him back and forth. And, you know, I said, I think it's a planet, but, you know, here is the date and the time. And so.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I think he believes in, like, interdimensional Bigfoot.
Okay.
Him, he has a buddy named Fred Saluga. They're both into that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
He's a good guy, though. You guys believe in interdimensional Bigfoot?
No.
I do not. I mean, we had this discussion at when we had our Paracon meeting, and like I was telling the guys, I was like, if you walk up to a guy in a ghillie suit, how close can you get up to him before you realize he's there? And you can
For me, Bob, it's 10 feet. We've done that. Been there, done that. Got the T-shirt.
You know, so I don't think that they intercept out dimensions, and you know, I just think they're really good at camouflage and hiding themselves, you know, staying still. I mean, that's I mean, like, we've had a couple manhunts here in Pennsylvania, one in New York and Eric Freen. How long did it take for them to find those guys? And that was 100,000 state troopers looking for them. You know, I mean,
right.
Forever.
Yeah, you basically had every state trooper in the state looking for one guy in a 5-mile radius, and it took them 2 months to find
him. And they just got him by luck at that point. You know, I mean, I don't believe in. I'm not saying that they're wrong. That's just my belief, though. I mean, I just think that this is a grade eight. You know, I just, like, humans are technically grade apes. You know, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just my opinion.
So you think they're flesh and blood creatures, the three of you, no doubt about it.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. That's just, you know, like I said, it's my opinion. I'm not saying his opinion is wrong. You know, I'm just saying that's just my opinion.
And what about these reports that, you know, these creatures' tracks will just stop in the middle of nowhere? Like, they just, like, the creature, it was as if the creature vanished.
Again, unless I'm there to see it. I did ghost investigations with the PPA, and, you know, we were on national TV and everything. But a lot of people believe in orbs, you know, as evidence. Unless we physically see an orb manifest in front of us, a lot of times there's other explanations for it, like bugs or dust or something like that. You know, so unless I'm there and I see the Bigfoot walk through a time port and disappear, I can't say, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying, in my opinion, they're not, you know.
So you're saying it's just your opinion.
Exactly. It's just my opinion. If we knew everything, then me and you won't be talking on the show right now, you know. I mean, they'd be classified as, you know, whatever they are, and they would be in the history books and discovered and everything else. The thing is, we don't know. We don't know, you know, who, you know, what they are or how they disguise themselves or have gone undiscovered, you know? We just don't know.
So you guys have been on over, 35 expeditions. Do you ever get to the point where you say, you know what, why are we even doing this? Why are we even spending all this time, this money, you know, this effort? Do you ever get to that point? I mean, what are your feelings? I'd like to hear from the three of you on this.
I mean, I've just started with the group, but I've done, like I said, investigations in the past, and I haven't got there yet. I haven't got bored of it yet. You know, I mean, it's an interest. It's like when you're a kid and you love dinosaurs, you know, you read all of the books. You don't ask yourself, you know, why do I waste my time reading dinosaur books? You just do because you enjoy it.
I always say 99% of the time we're not going to find anything. That 1% of the time is what keeps you coming back. And worst case scenario, you went for a hike in the woods, enjoyed yourselves, was out in nature, and you hung out with good friends. And you can't ask for anything more than that. And if along the way you happen to see a Bigfoot or have one tree knocked back to you, that's all.
Yeah, that's like I said, a lot of times too, you know, you do kind of once in a while wonder, but then it seems like when that happens, something will pop up and somebody will write or something and say, I saw this or heard this, and, you know, it gets you pumped back up. And, you know, like Jason said, and, you know, a lot of times when we go out too, we're investigating, but we're also talking about other areas or the latest stuff that's, you know, been out there with other groups or other sightings in different states. And, you know, we're planning the next one and stuff like that.
Trust me, I can use the hikes anyways.
If you guys were going to write a book, tell me what is the most interesting part of the research that you do, or interesting sighting count that you researched that would be included in that book? Bob, why don't you start off?
I think for me, it would be, we kind of like when we started this, we like to go to other states and that, but I always find it interesting, people always kind of don't think Pennsylvania is a Bigfoot area, but we were talking about this at the pizza place thing that one of the guys that put it on posted a map that like 53% of the state is still forest, they're still forest. And, I think Rob made the comment that day that probably a lot of those areas haven't seen humans or anybody in there in years. So that, stuff like that always interests me, like that Pennsylvania is actually like last year we were ranked like first or second with sightings, but overall through the years we're like tied for 10th, where people wouldn't think Pennsylvania is a Bigfoot area, because when people think of Pennsylvania they think of like Pittsburgh, Philadelphia and that, but if you look like at a Google map of Pennsylvania, there's a lot of green. So I'd if I did a book, that would probably be a whole chapter on just our area.
I guess for me, from what I studied of it, and like even studying as a kid, and like I said, growing up in Washington State, the Native American history of it that they've experienced, the lore of it, just the history on how it's grown throughout the years. It used to be you couldn't talk about it. You shouldn't talk about it, to now, with shows like Finding Bigfoot and stuff, it's okay. It's okay to talk about it. So I'm a big history buff. I'm big in the Civil War. So I would go through the history of the whole thing.
Jason?
See, I don't even know what I would write about. But mine would be a picture book with lots of cool nature photography.
Basically, you should make it a coloring book.
There we go. It's a coloring book. No. When it comes down to it, when we come back from expeditions, I come back with a lot of really neat nature photography of landscapes and trails. And my girlfriend always says to me, how come you don't send that into the local news or whatever? You take such good pictures. So there we go. Nature photography, wild Bigfooting.
All right, so no. Better yet, a sticker book.
I've said this in the past, guys, and, I love going out in the woods, and I love camping. And for me, when you're out there squatching, it really is about enjoying the outdoors and being with your friends. And if you have some activity, great. But I never think of it as, a wasted weekend, because I'm always having fun. There's always laughs to be had, and it's always great to spend time with your friend. Unless, of course, it's Clearfield County, and then it actually is a total waste of time because there's no Bigfoot out there. But other than that, I look fondly on my weekends out, whether, I have activity or not.
Right.
Exactly.
Or there's, that one or two times when you're hiking up a giant power line in the 95-degree heat.
Oh, yeah. Well, you gotta have heat stroke every now and then just to remind you that you're still alive, although barely.
I remember
right?
The one investigation we did, Bob texted me a couple days later. He's like, after we came home, I couldn't walk for 2 days.
Yeah, it was last Easter. I remember that. I was down for like 2 days. The old arthritis in the hips kicked in.
You're getting old, Bob.
Yeah, I know. Neither that, it's either the arthritis or I get infested with ticks. So.
Oh, are ticks bad up there?
Yeah, we went out last year. We did an overnight. Jason's grandfather had land, and we did an overnight. And I think I quit counting at 12 on me. And I only had like one or two actually like on my skin. Most of them were on my clothes, but I quit counting at 12.
I only came home with two, so I was all right.
I had three last investigation.
I remember I did a squatching investigation with Billy and another gentleman who I can't remember, but we came back out of the woods. And this was just, we went out for just 2 hours. It was after dark. When we came back out of the woods, we always do a tick check because I hate those things. And between the three of us, we pulled off 21 ticks.
Oof.
Yeah, so they can be really, really bad. This is down in Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah,
see,
really
we always joke that the Bigfoots know we're in the area because they could smell the deep woods off about 5 miles out coming off of us.
That's actually could be very true, you know. So looks like we're getting toward the end of our show here. But before we go, why don't you guys tell us how people can sort of keep track of, you know, what you guys are doing? You have a Facebook page?
Yeah, that's where we mostly, you know, we post all our things. We don't have a web page or nothing. It's Facebook.com, PA Bigfoot INV, or you can just, you know, go on Facebook and start typing in Pennsylvania Bigfoot Investigation, and it'll show up. And like I said, every time, you know, usually within a day or so, we post anything we find or we don't find. Or like Jason said, some nice nature photography, and, you know, we post any events we're doing and all that kind of stuff on there.
Oh, awesome. Well, Billy, do you have any questions for these guys?
No, but I appreciate, you know, you guys coming on, Bob, Jason, and Rob, taking some time out of your day and coming on here and being on the show with us, and certainly doing it on last minute notice too. I appreciate that.
That's fine. Well, thank you for having us.
Not a problem. And just wanted to throw one final plug. If anybody wants to buy us a thermal camera, we also have a GoFundMe page.
What kind of camera are you shooting for? Excuse the pun.
We'll take anything. We're not picky.
Well, did you have one in mind?
I don't know. That's Bob's apartment.
No, we didn't have nothing in mind. We just, you know, kind of, I just seen it and figured, you know, everybody else is doing one. We might as well try one and see what happens. And, you know, nothing's happened
sure.
yet, so.
Why not? Thermal cameras for everyone. I'm a house. Well,
yeah.
I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. It's been a lot of fun. I definitely want to go out Squatch with you because I think you guys would be fun. And maybe I'll
right, you bring the beer
and check out your presentation.
Well, next time we get one, we'll let you know.
All
right,
awesome.
Or like I said, you know, if you can make it for Paracon, you know, as far as I know, you know, one or two of us will be there for that. And, you know, I'm waiting to hear back from other groups from different states to see if they want to come up and participate. So,
and we'll tell Scott you were asking about him.
I will, yeah, please give my regards to Scott. So if there are other researchers who would like to take part in that event, would they contact you guys directly?
Well, yeah, like I said, they can contact us on Facebook or I think it's eastcoastparacon.com, or like I said, just go on Google or whatever, type in East Coast Paracon. And I know they got forms on there you can fill out to participate in it or get the directions and the times. And I believe they have 3 or 4 different speakers and different ghosts. And like I said, I'm psychic readings and that kind of stuff. So it should be a fun day.
How long does each, say there's a group who wants to participate, do they each get a speaking slot? And what's the time limit?
That, like I said, that I don't know. It's like I have to go back on the website and look. But I think it's just like it's going to be kind of like tables set out through the mall. And they got different conference rooms with different speakers going on, stuff like that, where, you know, if people want more information on a certain field, they can stop at different tables and talk to those people.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks again, guys.
All right. Thanks, good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
All righty, Bruce. Well, looks like we've tied up another show here. It definitely didn't do us any favors with the sound tonight. I never did hear anything from the engineer, so I don't know what they're even doing. So,
wonderful.
Anyway, yeah. Yep.
So before we go, I just wanted to thank everyone. I know we sort of kid about the hate mail we get, but we also get positive email and feedback from people who, you know, like our show or like what we're doing. And I want to thank, you know, you folks for taking the time to give us that feedback. It's always nice to know that, you know, there are people who appreciate, you know, what we do here on the show and sort of our format. And you know, we probably don't say thanks enough to you folks for that.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, just the fact, Bruce, that everyone hung in the chat room. We had like, you know, 20 people or whatever hanging in the chat room, even with no sound, and they're just chatting back and forth. We appreciate seeing you guys here every single week, and just you really support the show. We appreciate it, and we couldn't ask for no better listeners. So.
Absolutely.
So anyway, so hopefully next week, let's hope that we'll have some sound, because next week, of course, is Topic Tuesday, because it's the second Tuesday in a month. And I will be putting up the topic this weekend. It's going to be a doozy, isn't it, Bruce?
It could be, Billy. It could be very controversial. Topic Tuesday.
Yes.
Well, we will see.
Yeah, and I think I know of one or two people I may invite to call in on that show, and you may know who I'm talking about, Bruce. Just to see if they would like to give their opinion about that subject. And I think it'll be interesting. So I'm going to, I'm not going to say it right now what it is. Sorry, Jeremy. Jeremy must be listening on the phone. By the way, the phones are working fine, Bruce. The phone version's working fine.
So last week the sound was working okay, but the phones weren't working. This week
right.
The phones were okay, but the sound in the chat room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to make everybody wait till the weekend when I put it up. And it is a very controversial subject with a lot of people. And, you know, that sometimes makes for a very exciting discussion. So, we'll see. We'll see what everybody thinks. So, anyway. All righty. Do you have any other announcements, Bruce, before we end the show?
No, I don't, Billy.
All righty. Well, we'll see you guys next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Everyone have a great rest of the week and a wonderful weekend. See you then. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Sasquatch Watch Radio. We appreciate every one of our listeners. We hope you enjoyed our program. Don't forget to tune in again next week for another fun and informative program. Please visit our website at www.sasquatchwatchradio.com and leave us a comment about the show. We want to hear from you. Until next time, keep on looking for the big guys.